just in case you were a little confused about how the justice system works and who the laws apply to, last year, Hunter Biden blew off a congressional subpoena. Hunter Biden, the president's son, he decided he didn't want to testify before Congress and he didn't have to. Then this year, January 2024, he showed up at a congressional hearing, but then a member of Congress appeared to speak, and Hunter Biden, as an expression of contempt for that member and for Congress itself, just walked out. What happened to Hunter Biden? Well, he's still selling his childish artwork for hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece to Democratic donors who are reaping the benefits of that. You can be certain that old donation to the Hunter Biden Lifestyle Fund. So that's Hunter Biden's experience of our justice system. Now, Peter Navarro, who was a college professor for years and not especially political, wound up in the Trump administration as a trade official trying to narrow the trade gap between the United States and China. He got caught up, for reasons that were never clear, in the January 6th committee, the fake partisan committee run effectively by Dick Cheney's daughter, that we now know did nothing to bring the truth to light about January 6th, but abetted a cover-up of what actually happened that day. And yes, it was a setup, and that's not a conspiracy theory. That's an obvious conclusion based on the now emerged facts. So Peter Navarro did not testify before that, quote, committee. What happened to him? Well, Peter Navarro was just sentenced to 4 months in prison for that dastardly act, defying a congressional subpoena by the fake committee. Okay. So you would think in a functioning country where people had a commitment not just to party, but to principle and in living together peacefully, maybe for the next 100 years or so, people would be standing up for Peter Navarro. No. Here's one of the dumbest people ever to serve the United States Senate, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, celebrating that sentence on MSNBC. Watch.
Well, you know, as a person, I wish it was 4 years instead of 4 months. But it is always heartening to see the system work and to see someone who has worn a suit and tie to work forever and has been in the halls of power be held accountable for refusing. But, you know, I wish more people had been charged with contempt of Congress. I understand why they weren't, but Congress has to work on oversight.
He should do 4 years in prison, 4 years until he's dead. Remember when they told us that female leaders are going to be more compassionate and empathetic and kinder? A lot of them turned out to be bloodthirsty and punitive. Maybe we should reassess that assumption. But in any case, Peter Navarro is, all things being equal, headed to prison very soon for the crime of not obeying Dick Cheney's daughter. We thought we would talk to him before that happens. He joins us now. Peter Navarro, thank you so much for coming on.
Tucker, so much appreciate this time. The best way, folks out there in Tucker's America, can help me right now is to go to my legal defense fund, givesendgo.com/Navarro. That's givesendgo.com/Navarro. I've already had to lay out over $500,000 in legal fees for the lower court that found me guilty of this charge. But Tucker, the good news here is that this is just going to be, in my hope and judgment, a landmark constitutional case on the constitutional separation of powers and the use of executive privilege as a tool of sound presidential decision making. They're remarkable things.
Wait, Peter, for 1 second. Yeah. First of all, I could not support you more vehemently. Yeah. I think you're being railroaded for political reasons. I think it's very obvious to any reasonable person watching this, whether that person voted for Trump or not, or likes you or not.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're at the stage of regime collapse where constitutional precedents maybe are the operative question. I think it's about force, and they're trying to put you in prison because they don't like you, and they want to send a message to others that if Trump gets elected, don't serve that administration. You'll wind up like Peter Navarro, spending your 70s in jail. So my question to you is, and this has got to be obvious to you, if they, I think it's 57 or so days from now, they can put you in prison no matter what you say, whether it's appealed or not.
Yes.
If ordered to go to prison, why would you comply with that? Like, at a certain point, do you just say to yourself, this is all fake? It's not our system you're upholding. It's our system you're destroying, and I'm not going to participate in it.
No. I obey the law. I obeyed the law when I failed to respond to congressional subpoena because the law, Tucker, for more than 50 years, across Democrat and Republican presidencies has been that senior White House officials like me, alter egos of the president, shall not and cannot and legally cannot be compelled to testify before Congress. And the reason is very simple, is because executive privilege is something that goes right back to George Washington, our first president, who understood that confidential communications within the White House are critical to effective decision making. That's something that the Supreme Court has long recognized, and that's something that the Pelosi Congress with the J6 committee trampled all over.
But and you're kind of making my point for I'm me, though, here, aren't you? Wait, hold on. Yeah, aren't you making the point for me, which is everybody knows that. It's long established. Eric Holder, Attorney General, blew off a congressional subpoena from a real committee. Yes. This was January 6th, whatever that body was not a real committee. It was a cover-up operation that committed crimes. Okay, so they didn't even have the moral authority to tell anybody to do anything. They should be charged. But their precedent was very, very clear. You're not the first White House official to say you can't subpoena me. So they knew that when they sentenced you to prison. So they don't care about the law. Only you care about the law. So isn't it kind of asymmetrical here?
Well, it's certainly asymmetrical. They have the power, and it's my firm belief, as is yours, that we live in a world where the justice system has indeed been weaponized. I mean, look, they want to put Donald Trump in prison. There's no question about that. I'm the appetizer, as it were, the chum in the water. And we do have an election going on. It's very important to get him elected. But look, this issue from a legal point of view is interesting, Tucker, because I literally am the first person ever in this republic to ever be actually charged. All the other people you mentioned never got charged. So there's no what they call settled law. I mean, the central legal question is whether people like me can be compelled to testify for Congress. The law is not settled on that. The law is not settled on questions like, what's the burden of Congress to get the information it's seeking? They're not supposed to have investigations to punish people. They're supposed to seek information. One of the remarkable things, Tucker, is that from the outset, I said, look, president has invoked executive privilege, which he undeniably did. It's not my privilege by law to waive, and that I'm more than happy to comply with your subpoena if you just call the president and ask him to waive the privilege. You know what? Not one single phone call, either from the J6 people or the government itself. Instead, the government, this is your two-tier system. Instead of like calling me and saying, okay, we got an indictment, please peacefully surrender like they do with everybody else, they put me in leg irons.
Of course they did, Tucker, as they did to Roger Stone and a lot of other people that you worked with. Like, and that's kind of my question.
Yes.
The whole world that you occupied in, say, 2019, which wasn't that long ago, everybody's been either indicted, sent to jail, did some kind of plea, has been unable to find a job, has been bankrupted by civil suits. Like, everybody's been destroyed.
Yes.
And no one on the left has been destroyed at all. They've all thrived.
Scavino,
have you noticed this?
Meadow, you name it. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody.
I have indeed. I mean, it's look, it is what it is. This is why we have to take back the reins of power, Tucker, and have one of the big disappointments to me is the Republicans took over the Congress in 2022, and there hadn't been any attempt whatsoever to get to the bottom of J6 or to get to the bottom of why all of the Trump people and Trump himself are winding up being papered with indictments, subpoenas, drained dry of legal funds.
What do you conclude
I'm
from that? What do you
conclude from the outset?
Of course. But what do you, I mean, what you said is indisputably true. So the Republicans take power.
Yes.
And they collaborate with the Democrats to turn this into a one-party state. So what does that tell you about them?
Well, the law, it tells me that they're amoral, the ends justify the means, and their Trump derangement syndrome really broke the Democrat Party apart once Trump got into office, because they left everything behind. It's not, look, it's the Democrats themselves. It's a lot of the legacy media and the journalists who can't even cover my own story correctly. And what I make of that is we've really lost our moral compass, in that this is a nation that's basically two nations. One, it's the MAGA, Trump's America, Tucker's world, where we believe in the rule of law. We'd like to believe in the rule of law. We believe that this country can be prosperous without massive government spending. We believe in secure borders. We don't like to send our men and women off to endless wars and places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And then we got this other world where they're out for blood, and they are using the reins of power. And this began not even the day Trump got inaugurated. That's the thing. My life experience, Tucker, in the White House, besides literally helping to create hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs and literally during the pandemic saving hundreds of thousands of lives. I mean, just think about that alone. That meant nothing to this court. Okay. The other thing I observed was a relentless attack on Trump trying to overthrow a duly elected president. Pelosi, everybody, every Democrat on that J6 committee participated early on in multiple attempts to overthrow the Trump government, whether it was the Russia hoax, the impeachments, this, that, and the other thing. So what do I make of that? God bless Tucker for being on there and pointing this stuff out. Well, we got work to do. And the only peaceful thing we can do here is make sure we get to the ballot box and change this Biden regime. I mean, and then maybe clean up the act here.
Yeah, maybe, like, right away.
Tucker.
Last question, because there's the matter of what happens to the country going forward, but there's also the matter of what happens to you in less than 2 months, and you could be in a jail cell at a time of life where I bet you didn't ever think you'd be in jail. How is your family? How are your friends responding to that? You obviously aren't really complaining very much, but are they worried for you?
Look, there's been a tremendous outpouring of support. Just one more time, givesendgo.com/Navarro. I mean, we had over 20,000 small donors contribute to that fund. And I think just Tucker Nation alone could get me to my goal in 24 hours after they watch this. But look, it's hard. When they took me down in leg irons, Tucker, I was with somebody I love very, very much. And the terror that was inflicted on that person, that shouldn't have happened. I can take whatever they dish out, but when they go after your family like that, that crossed the line for me.
How did federal authorities inflict terror on your loved one?
Well, we're at the airport waiting to fly off to do Mike Huckabee's Nashville show, having one of the nicest days of our life, a joyful flying off to a place neither one of us ever been. We walk through the gangway, arm in arm together, smiling, and five FBI agents surround me with guns, throw me in handcuffs, don't let me call a lawyer, separate her from me, and perp walk her out. I mean, it's as brutal as you get.
In an airport, and in front of other people.
In an airport. And Tucker, look, I literally, from my window, I can see FBI headquarters. 2 days before that happened, I wrote a long note, memo to Elizabeth Alloy, the person who would be responsible for putting me in leg irons, asking her to call my attorney to see if there was a modus vivendi here, expressing my willingness to cooperate in any way should they move forward with some kind of indictment. And she didn't even call my lawyer.
Yeah.
Didn't even call the lawyer.
So basically you've got the Tauntaun Macoutes here.
Let me go out there and pulled me off that plane needlessly. And you know why they did it, Tucker. You know exactly why they did. Same reason they went after Donald Trump down at Mar-a-Lago with guns out. You know, the only difference between his raid was he had more agents and they had assault rifles, and my people who came after me had handguns. But look, this is not right. There's something that smells about this whole thing. I get back to, I'm the first person in history ever charged with this alleged crime, and the Department of Justice said for 50 years it's not a crime.
Yeah.
And here I sit.
Can I ask you if
Give send go yeah.
Do you think yeah. no got it? But do you think that if Dick Cheney's daughter could have you executed, she would be honest?
I know that Dick Cheney's daughter is very, very happy that she's able to send one of Trump's closest and most effective advisors to prison. That's unquestioned
on the basis of
in
no
my
crime.
Mind. I also know that her daddy sent thousands of people to their death. And you know, when I was in the administration, a little more personal note here, I would go up to Walter Reed on occasion. More than once I saw vets from Afghanistan or Iraq, they're paraplegic, quadriplegic, and in the gym or in the rehab centers, just warriors, just trying to live their lives going forward. And damned if it wasn't Bush and Cheney who were responsible for those endless wars. And the fact that Donald Trump in 2016 vanquished the Bush dynasty by taking weak energy Jeb out and then criticizing rightly Cheney, Papa Cheney there for doing the carnage he did. Lizzie has never forgiven him for that. So, yeah, she's happy. I'm going to prison. She's probably happier than Claire McCaskill. I mean, who are these clowns, Tucker?
Well,
they love
hurting people. We know that. Peter Navarro.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck to you. Whatever happens.
All right, my brother. Take care.
Free speech is bigger than any one person or any one organization.
Societies are defined by what they will not permit.
What we're watching is the total inversion of virtue.